We're on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's just review one point that we were rushed a little bit on Chav Beis Amud Beis, and that's the case where he's davening and he sees soa, excrements or feces. So the Braisa says, Mahalach lefanav, he should walk forward and leave the soa behind him, arba amos. But then there's another Braisa that says, he should go litzdadim, meaning move to his right or to his left. And the Gemara reconciles it that hod efshar delo efshar, that if it's possible for him, then he should go forward, arba amos, and leave the soa behind him. If it's impossible, Rashi gives an example that there's a river in front of him, so he can't go forward, then he goes to the tzodim. But the main thing is that he should be marking himself from the tzoa arba amos. The Gemara now is going to start with Tana Rabbanan. So let's see where we're up to here on Daf of Gimel Amud Aleph, the first of the wide lines. Hanitzrach l'nekovav al yispalel v'yemispalel tfiloso to'eva. So it means that a person feels the urge to go to the bathroom, then the halacha is he should not daven. Once he gets the message that he has to go to the bathroom at some point, he shouldn't daven. If he goes and he davens, then his tefillah is unacceptable. And the Rambam writes that call it tzarech l'nekovav mispal tefiloso teiv tzarech lachzor l'spalel li'acher shi'as etzrochov. He's going to have to repeat his tefillah, lachzor l'spalel. In other words, he has to go back and a second time daven again. He was mafsid his first tefillah. And there's a machlokes in the poskim whether or not this halach applies only to gedolim or even to ketanim. The Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Zvid, v'itema Rav Yehuda, lo shanu this din, that is tefillah z'toeva, ela she'eno yochol lishahos atzmo, lishos v'atzmo. In other words, he can't hold himself in. Again, l'chatchila, he shouldn't have done so. But b'di'evid, if he davened, in a case of yochol lishos es atzmo, he could delay going to the bathroom and relieving himself, then his tefillah is tefillah. V'ad kama, to what extent should he try to be otzer nikavov? He should try to delay, or he can delay, let's say. Again, we said before, he shouldn't delay. And what is the shear? How much time would it be to say that he can, you know, he can delay it? How long can he delay it? It's very difficult for him to know that, but if he could know. Amar Rav Sheshes, parsa. And a parsa is a shear of distance. And the question is, how long would it take, if we can translate this into time, to get to a parsa? So let's just try to explain what a parsa is and how much time we think it's we'll come up with. I think 72 minutes according to the poskim. But how long is he able to restrain himself and postpone going to the bathroom? And the Gemara says a parsa. Now let's just see how much is a parsa. A parsa is the same as 4 mil, which is the same as 8,000 amos. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that that's the equivalent of 72 minutes. Very interesting that we give a shear in distance when we're talking really about time. So again, the halacha is that if he's able to restrain himself for such a period of time, from the moment that he started his tefillah, then his tefillah b'di'evid is valid. He doesn't have to repeat his tefillah. But once again, as we said before, it would seem from Rabbeinu Yonah and others that he shouldn't start davening. He shouldn't say, well, I can restrain myself. However, the Rif does say that if he can restrain himself that period of time, then he's allowed the chatchila to start davening. That is the opinion of the Rif. We'll mention it as we go along. Ika demasli la maslisa. According to one version, this distinction was mentioned as an addendum to our Mishnah, that if he can be machzik esatzmo, then his tefillah is a tefillah. And it was not said as a separate statement of Rav Zvid and Rav Yehuda, but rather it was a comment that was added to the Mishnah or to the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Hanitzach l'nekov al yispal v'im yispal tefillos ha'toeva is b'medvar ha'murim." This was the comment of Rav Yehuda. Kishe'en yochol lamod al atzma v'im yochol lamod al atzmo tefiloso tefillah. Viad kama, Amar Rav Zvid ad parsa. So that was a comment made as an addendum to the Braisa, as a comment on the Braisa. Now we're going to bring a drasha, a very famous drasha, with regard to having to cleanse the body before tefillah. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, Hanitzrach l'nekovav hareza lo yispalel. If a person has to go, then even if he can restrain himself for kedei hiluch parsa, but nevertheless lo yispal. Again, we mentioned the Rif, that the Rif says that if he can restrain himself for parsa, then he's allowed to daven. But this Gemara seems to assume he should not daven in any event. Why? Mishum she'nemar Hikon likras Elokech Yisrael. This is a pasuk in Amos, and this generates a principle called Hikon. Prepare yourself for tefillah. So preparing yourself for tefillah means making sure that you're not a nitzach and a kovav, that you don't have to use the bathroom. The Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, here's another statement of Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni in the name of Rav Yonas, and my siv, a pasuk in Koheles, we'll read the entire pasuk. It says, Shmar raglecha kasher telech el beis alokim v'karov l'shmoa mites haksilim zevach ki enom yodim lasos ra. So the Gemara takes part this pasuk, dissects it piece by piece. Shmar atzmecha shalo techta. What does it mean that you should watch yourself not to sin? Means preventing sin, that you shouldn't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a korban chatos as a kapara. So that's what it means. Shmar raglecha, shmar atzmecha shelo techta. A person shouldn't wait to sin and then go bring a korban. He should already do all the preparations and anticipate what might bring him to sin and be very careful so that he doesn't have to bring a korban chatos or a korban oshav and go up to the Beis HaMikdash. But v'im techta, but if you sin, havei korban lefanai, then bring the korban. And that's what it means when it says Shmarag Kasher Telech El Beis Elkim. Then it says V'karov L'shmoa Amar Rava Hevi Karov L'shmoa Divrei Chachamim. You should listen to the words of your rabbis. She'im Chotim Mevi'im Karbam V'yosim Tshuva. Then you should bring a Karbam for your Chet and do it the way that the Chachamim guide you to do it. That means through tshuva. The osim tshuva. The osim tshuva becomes a prerequisite here to bringing a korban. And then it says, mites haksilim zevach. What is that referring to? Al tehi keksilim, don't be like these cynics or fools, shechotim umevim korban v'enam osim tshuva. That they bring the korban perfunctorily and they think they'll get kapara, but without tshuva. And the Marsha points out that the simple reading in this pasuk, the karov lishmoa, means adif lishma b'kol Hashem v'lo lechta, that you should certainly listen to the kol Hashem rather than sin, so that you don't have to bring a korban. And Shmuel says to Shaul, hachafetz v'Hashem v'olos uzvachim kishmo b'kol Hashem. The Ksil doesn't understand this. He'd rather bring the korban. And when it says in the end of the pasuk, Einam Yodim Lasos Ra, they don't even know that they sinned. They just bring the korban and they think they'll achieve kapar as if they didn't sin. So that's how the Marsha interprets the simple pshat in this pasuk when it says the korav lishma. Now, the end of the pasuk says ki einam yodim lasos ra, which sounds like they don't know how to do evil. Ihachis the Gemara says, if you're talking about ksilim and they don't know to do evil, then tzaddikim, then why you call them ksilim, which is a pejorative term? We should call them tzaddikim. They don't need to do tshuva because then einam yodim lasos ra. So what's the chisaron here? Why do you call them ksilim? Ela. So Gemara answers that we have to reinterpret this pasuk. Al tehi keksilim shechotim u'mevim karbon. And what's v'einam yodim? V'einam yodim im al hatova heim mevim im al hara'a. Right, there are two categories of karbonos. There are karbonos that we bring al hatova. For example, a karbon toda, which we bring to thank Hashem for salvation, or a person wants to volunteer to bring a karbon nedava, nedava shlomim. So that's called ala tova. Ala ra means if they did sin, then they bring a khatas or an asham. So they don't do tshuva. Why? Because they just bring the carbon. In their mind, there's no difference between this carbon and that carbon. Because in the absence of tshuva, you're missing the whole point of the carbon. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God declares, bein tov l'ra eino mavchinim. They can't distinguish between tov and ra. They don't realize what the purpose of their carbon is and why they're obligated to bring it. Hey, mevim carbon lefanai, and then they bring a carbon in front of me. And basically, what's going on here is the karv lishmoa means shemiskariv adam el Hashem kasheru shomea bekolo v'nizam el achet. If he wants to come close to Hashem, the pasuk is telling him that he should listen to God's voice. And he should be careful about sin, so he doesn't have to bring a korban on his chet. But mites aksilim zevach means he should be more careful than the ksilim who sin and bring a korban. They don't know how to do evil. So there's a basic psychological principle here about a person who thinks in the back of his mind that he can solve all the problems. You know, echtav yoshev, so to speak. That's his attitude. Echtav yovi korban. But in truth, he doesn't do a sincere, genuine tshuva. And therefore, his korban is not meaningful. Rav Ashi v'item Rav Chanina bar Papa Amar. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk, Shmar raglecha kasher telech al beis ha'elokim, shmar nekavecha. This is a new drash, that you should be careful when it says mibein ralecha, it's a reference to the bowel movement. Make sure that you first clean out your body to make sure that you can daven, that you won't have to go to the bathroom when you're davening. Rashi adds a few words, sof divrei ha'maschil shmar nekavecha. He says shelo yafichu, not to pass air, not to pass gas while you're davening. That's a bit of an addition of Rashi. So Shmar Nekavecha means that you should guard your openings. Nekavecha means the part of your body, which according in this pasuk it says Mibein Raglecha, and that's a reference, a hint to the part of the body where you have bowel movement. Okay. So it's interesting that here the word in the pasuk is shmar. Usually the word shmar is a losas. Before we spoke about hikon lekras Hashem Elokecha. A hikon is an essay, so maybe there's both a negative aspect and a positive aspect. to be make sure you clean yourself before davening. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Nichnas Beis HaKisei, a person goes into the bathroom to have a bowel movement. Choletz Tefila Berichuk Arba Amos. He shouldn't go too close to the Beis HaKisei before he takes off his tefillin. He should remove his tefillin in a distance of 4 amos before the entrance into the Beis HaKisei v'nichnas, and after he relieves himself, then again he should go 4 amos away from the Beis HaKisei and put on his tefillin again, redon his tefillin. Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes lo shonu, this din applies ela Beis HaKisei kavua, which is a set Beis HaKisei. In those days, a Beis HaKisei that was designated as such had a lot of background soa in it. It was a chafira. They dug into the karka, and a Beis HaKisei in the Gemara is a whole to do. Rashi says, if you take a look at Rashi, a Beis HaKisei sheyesh bo tsoa. Rashi says, Dafka, it's without chafira. If it's got a chafira, then perhaps the tzoa goes all the way down and it's less of a problem. And you don't see it on the surface level, so maybe you don't have to take off your tefillin. But now we're talking about a Beis HaKisei kavua and choletz tefila. Interesting whether he'd make a bracha on chalitza's tefillin. That's a whole sugya unto itself. Aval Beis HaKisei Aroi, if it's only being used on a temporary basis, and now he wants to use it, and he has to make a bowel movement, his choletz, and he takes off his tefillin, he can hold on to his tefillin, v'nifne li alter. Notice he doesn't have to be marchik himself immediately, he can go to the bathroom, he doesn't have to distance himself for amos, and he's holding on to his tefillin, ukshu yotze, and when he gets out, now he's already left his excrement there. Then marchik arva amos u'meinicham, then he should walk at least the distance of 4 amos. V'neishaso Beis HaKisei kavua. In other words, alpi din, once he uses it, at that moment it takes on the status of a Beis HaKisei kavua. Iboilu, the Gemara has a suffix, Maoshi kones odom bitfilin le Beis HaKisei kavua lahashtin mayim. Is he allowed to enter into a permanent Beis HaKisei with his tzoa, but his purpose is to urinate? And the Gemara quotes a machlokas here on this issue. Ravina Shari, Ravina was matir to go in there with his tefillin, and Rav Adbar Masna Osar, he has to remove his tefillin before he goes in. Asu Shailua, they came to ask this question. LaRava Amalahu Asu. Rava says you can't go into a Beis Knesses into a Beis HaKisei Kavua while he's wearing his tefillin. Chayshinan Shemi Yipanim Bahen. We're afraid that maybe he'll come to use the bathroom and he needs gedol. Now, when the Gemara asked the question, raised the issue of Maoshi Kanes Odom Tefillin LeBeis HaKisei Kavua LaHashtin Mayim, so Rashi seems to indicate that we're talking about Tefillin Shel Rosh, and the sad to prohibit it is that if he's going LaHashtin, then he might feel the need to do gdolim or lafiach b'hem, as we saw before. Now, it's interesting that Rashi seems to imply that maybe kedushas tefillin shel rosh is greater than that of tefillin shel yad, or maybe because tefillin shel yad are covered or concealed, so there's a little bit of a less of a problem. But there are indications from Rashi elsewhere that even tefillin shel yad has to be removed when a person is doing gedolim, when he has a bowel movement. Now, why is the Gemara vacillating here back and forth? Maoshi kanes adam tefillin lebeis HaKisei, and it's a Beis HaKisei kavua. We just established in the previous brisa that you have to remove your tefillin at a distance of 4 amos from the
Beis HaKisei. Now he's going into the Beis HaKisei with his tefillin. So the Rashba answers that Brisa is talking about a case where he intends to defecate. That's his intention. Here we're talking about a case where he intends to urinate, but the fear is that even though he's only urinating, he might feel the need to defecate. However, there is another girsa that takes out the words kavua. I'm sorry, when it says Maushi Kanis Adam Mitfilin Lebesakisi Kavua, there seems to be another girsa that takes out the word kavua. So we're talking about a Besakisi Aroi. In any event, the question was asked to Rava, do we prohibit going into the Beis HaKisei for the purpose of urinating when he's wearing his tefillin? And Rava said it's also because we're afraid that he might defecate. The Amrila, according to another Girsa, the Chashash is Shema Yafiach Bahem, that he might pass gas. Now, there is a Tosis and a Rosh that a Beis HaKisei Aroi Mutu Lahashtim, that if you're not going into a permanent Beis HaKisei, you're allowed to urinate. But the Rambam seems to indicate that also Lahashtim B'Tfilin. And Al Gemara doesn't seem to indicate that, because he's going in for the purpose of urinating while he's wearing his tefillin. Apparently that itself is mutter. The only chashash is that Shema Yifna Bahem, or Yipana Bahem, or Shema Yafiach Bahem. So it's possible that the Rambam had a different girsa. And the Rambam's girsa Shema Yafiach means the chashash is hafacha bebeis hakisei kavua machmas ketanim. So this is Shitas HaRambam, that he's machmir as far as urinating with tefillin on. Also lahashtim b'tefillin is the Rambam's language. Tanya Idoch, we have a different price. Nichnas beis hakisei kavua choleitz tefillah berichuk dalet amis umeinicham bechalon. So that according to this brisa, he should take off his tefillin at a distance of 4 amos, and he should place them on a window in a wall, and that wall is near Rishus HaRabin. So Rashi explains that there are Chorin HaSmuchim Rishus HaRabin, which are Smuchim Beis HaKisei. So we're talking about chorim shebekosel. We're talking about holes in a wall, and the wall separates Rishus HaRabim and the sod and the field where the Beis HaKisei is. And the chorim turn towards Rishus HaRabim. And that's where he's allowed to put his tefillin. V'nichnas, he goes in, and he defecates. Ukshu yotze, when he comes out, marchik arba amos, he goes at a distance of 4 amos, umei nichon, and then he redons his tefillin, divrei Beit Shan, Beis Hillel, ochazon biyado v'nichnas. In other words, Beis Hillel is not excited about the idea of leaving his tefillin in the chorei Rishus HaRabim. So we'll see that Beis Hillel are afraid, in the context of Kedushas tefillin, of subjecting the tefillin, exposing them to loss, to theft, by putting them towards Rishus HaRabim in these chorin. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ochazan bibigdo v'nichnas lebeis hakisei, that he's allowed to actually hold them and go inside. But he shouldn't hold them biyado, as Beis Hillel say, but rather Ochazan bibigdo. Now the Gemara is going to try to explain the various shitos here in this braisa. The Gemara first asks a question on Rabbi Akiva, v'bigdo salkid daito. Does it make sense that if you take Rabbi Akiva literally, that he's holding them in his beged? The Gemara says if he does such a thing, zimnin mishtalei lehu v'nafle, he may drop the tefillin. So this is not a good idea to wrap up the tefillin in his beged. But perhaps what Rabbi Akiva had in mind, we should say, is ochazan bebigdo ubi yado. He should hold them in both the beged and the yad. Sheminicha betoch bigdo vi ochaz bahem biyado mi ba'ad lebigdo. So he wraps up his tefillin in his garment, and he holds the two in his hand. So the question seems to be, what's the maximum shmira, protection of the tefillin and kedushas tefillin when he's entering into a beis hakiseh? And we're talking about a beis hakiseh kavua. So Beis Hillel advocates in favor of holding him in his hand, because otherwise he might drop them. Let me read to you the Tzlach. The Tzlach says that Rabbi Akiva mati li'ochso bebigdo ve'ose li'ochso biyado shalo bebigdo. In other words, to maximize Kedushas tefillin, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that he should wrap up the tefillin in a beged and then grab onto the beged. Ve'sil matirim li'ochso biyado. And why? Because we're afraid maybe they'll fall. The osram leechos betoch beso shemiyiplu, and he's opposed to wrapping them up in a beged because they may fall. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva is most concerned with the cheft of the tefillin itself, and Basil is worried about shemiyiplu. Now, after the Braisa mentions these three shitos, and we said that by, according to Rabbi Akiva, by wrapping them up in the beged, that's shmiras kedushas tefillin, and now ochazan bebigdo biyado, so therefore we take off the chashash shemiyiplu according to Rabbi Akiva, v'nichnas, and he goes into the beis hakiseh kavua, and that's the best maximum way of shmiras tefillin. Umeinicham bechor nasmuchin lebeis hakiseh. And the Braisa continues by telling us that according to Rabbi Akiva, meinicham bechorin hasmuchim lebeis hakiseh velo yanichem bechorin hasmuchim l'shus rabim shemeyitlu osam ovrei drachim v'yavoli de chashad. So Rabbi Akiva gives two options, two possibilities. Either he's ochzem v'bigdo v'yado v'nichnas, or he leaves them in the holes in the wall, but not the holes in the wall that are facing Rishus HaRabim, because he's afraid that maybe passers-by will take them. And then there's something called Yavoli Deifshad. In other words, there may be some suspicion that he is guilty of some immoral behavior, but he's allowed to put them in the chorin asmuchim lebeis hakiseh. So there are chorin that face the sodeh, the beis hakiseh, which is in the field. And we're going to have a whole story here about why there's a risk of losing tefillin, or the tefillin getting taken away by little creatures. But the option that Rabbi Akiva accepts is leaving them in the holes that are facing the sadeh. That's not his first option. It seems like Rabbi Akiva's first option would be that he wraps up the tefillin in his beged, the ochsam biyado. But let's say, for example, his beged is, you know, wraps around his body, there's no room to take the tefillin, so Rabbi Akiva gives you a fallback position. Now, what is this issue here of Yavoli Dechshad? That if he would put them in the holes of the kosel facing Rishus HaRabim, there may be some sort of suspicion. Ma'aseh b'Talmid Echad, Shehiniach Tefillin B'chorin Asmuchim Rishus HaRabim, Ubas zona achas unitalosan. Ubas lebeis hamedrash v'yomer reuma nosan liploni b'schori. So that she, this harlot, she took the tefillin out of the holes because she was walking with Shusram and she saw it there. She came to the basement and she said, look, this is the person, the owner of this tefillin is the one who had a relationship with me. This is what he paid me. Came into Shamos the Talmud Kach. When this Talmud heard this and he knew that they would identify him, Olo L'Rosh HaGag V'Nafal. It sounds like he committed suicide and jumped off a roof who messy died. V'yosu shaskinu she'ochazan v'bigdo u'biyodo v'nichnas. That she'd always hold on to the tefillin and go inside. And again, if he can't do that, because his beggar doesn't facilitate that, then he's allowed to put it in holes, but holes that face the Rishus HaYochid, meaning the Sada, but not the Rishus HaRabba. So basically, we are prohibiting leaving the tefillin in a place that where they can be taken. Tana Rabbana, we learned to the Brice of Rishon HaYom Menichim Tefillin Bechor Nasmuch LeBeis HaKise. Initially, that's what they allowed, like Rabbi Akiva's fallback position, that we put him in the holes that are facing the Beis HaKise. Uvan Akbarim V'notlin Oso. But as a result, the Akbar and the mice would come and take the tefillin, because they don't care whether it's facing Rishus HaRabba or Rishus HaYochid. Iskinu Shiu Menichin Oso B'chalonos HaSmukim Rishus HaRabba. So then they went back to the original position that the tefillin should be placed in the windows that face the Rishus HaRabba. But then people used to take them away. And the final takana was that they hold on to it and they go into the Beis HaKise. Omer Rav Miyosha Bereid Rav Yeshua ben Levi Halacha, the final halacha is Golan Kimin Sefer. He should roll his tefillin up in their straps like a sefer, like a scroll. The Ochson Bimino Keneged Libo, he should hold them in his right hand opposite his heart while he is doing his nekoven, while he's going to the bathroom. And the explanation here is that he shouldn't wrap up his garment in the beged. It might fall out, and that's what we said, we were choshesh. And basically the halacha here reflects the sheet of Beis Hillel rather than Rabbi Akiva, and that is ochazin biyada. However, he should do it in the way that's prescribed here of Golan Kimin Sefer. And he should hold them in his right hand, which is his stronger hand. And also he should be using his left hand to cleanse himself. And should be opposite his heart. That's respect for the tefillin. To summarize, we have a final psak about the question of someone who has to go into the Beis HaKise and he's wearing his tefillin and he's not allowed to defecate with his tefillin on. So what should he do with his tefillin? And this was appropriate, this was a very pressing question back in the day when the Beis HaKise was out there in the fields. So he doesn't want to leave his tefillin off hefker. You know, the Kedushas tefillin requires that he protects the tefillin. So the Gemara tells us that the best recommendation, lahalacha, is golalon. He should wrap them up in their itzuos. And he is ochzan biyamino. He holds on to the tefillin in his right hand, keneged libo. And he has to protect the tefillin that they shouldn't fall. And it seems that the Gemara is concluding that he should hold it in his hands after he wraps it up like a scroll, but rather than wrapping it up in some sort of a beged, because if he wraps it up in a beged, we're afraid that the tefillin
the tefillin might fall on the floor. So he holds him in his hands, in his right hand, which is the stronger hand, keneged libo. Omer Rav Yosef bar Minyomi, Omer Rav Nachman, ubilvad shelo tehe ritzua yotzeis mitachas yodo tefach. So until now we've been discussing the tefillin, but now what about the ritzuos? You know, you just finished saying that he should be golel the tefillin in the ritzuos. So he says now that he doesn't want the ritzua of tefillin to be yotzeis mitachas yodo. I guess it means that if the ritzuos would go beyond, then maybe that's a pegiah, that undermines the kedusha of the ritzuos of the tefillin. So we'll say a few words about the kedushas ritzuos, but first, just shalote ritzua yotzeis. I think what he's saying is that his hand is covering the tefillin. And again, he's holding it keneged libo, but it's not enough that he covers the tefillin. He's got to make sure that he covers the ritzuos. And even though a little bit of his ritzua might extend and protrude beyond his hand, but it's less than a tefach's worth. Now, about the kedushas ritzuos, so Rashi has a whole discussion over here, and basically it turns out the following, that with regard to the ritzua of tefillin, shel rosh, those ritzuos that come by two sides, they come from the kesher. And that kesher, which is made by the ritzuos, is kimin os dalet. You know, some people have a minug of a double dalet. My Rebbe was pretty much opposed to that minug. He said, that's not true. You need a dalet, not a double dalet.
Yeah.
Now, on the walls of the tefillin shel rosh, the bayis, we have the letter shin. And on the ritzuos of tefillin shel yad, we have an os yud, and that's at the bottom of the kesher near the finger. So what we have ultimately is a shin, a dalet, and a yud, which is the shem of Hashem. So it's the tefillin shel, it's the ritzuos shel tefillin that give us the dalet and the yud. Again, the shin is chakuka on the bayis shel tefillin shel rosh. Now my minig is, I don't know if you have the same minig, that I have, even in the ritzuos, I have a shin, the ritzuos shel yad. So in addition to the shin that's on the bayis shel rosh, I also have a shin on the ritzuos.
I don't have such a
no. Omer of Yaakov bar Acha, Omer Rav
Zira.
Right, excellent. Lo shanu, this din that you wrap up your tefillin and you hold them in your hand and you go into the bathroom, that only applies ella kishayesh hus biyom lilov shan. Because he has enough time during the day that after he goes to the bathroom and he defecates, he'll still have time before shkia sachama to put on his tefillin. But what if he's in an urgent time situation? Aval ein shehus biyom lelovshan. If he will not have time before shkia to put on his tefillin, then the other option is ela osel lahem kimin kis. He should create a sort of like a pocket which has an airspace in it of tefach ume nicham, and he should put them inside this kiss. So I have a long note over here about what this business is all about of oselahem kemin kiss. Now the Gemara seems to be assuming here that lila lavzman tefillin hu, so that's why there's a time urgency here. That itself is an issue, not here but elsewhere, Masechta Menachos. Now Rashi explains, you'll take a look at Rashi, Divrei Maskil Oseh, which is about 10 lines up from the bottom. Rashi says that the significance here of a tefach, of a halal tefach, is because it's nechshav ka'ohel. You'll see that choshev akli ohel. Lahafsik beinom lakarka. So we need some sort of a chatzitza, if you will, to separate the tefillin from the karka. And how does he do this? He creates like an ohel. And machmas ze, as a result, yochol anicham al gabi karka, v'ein b'kach bizoyim lehem. So by creating this kiss, we can permit him to place the tefillin on the ground itself. Why? Because it's not lying on the ground, it's lying in this kind of an ohel, a makeshift ohel, which is a chatzitza between the karka and the tefillin themselves. Bekosru Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah comes to explain this Rashi. Shebeyom huzman tefillin yochol anicham agabi karka bishvil shiyu mizumonim lo lanicham. So since it's still daytime and he's got a pressure, he wants to get find time to put on the tefillin, so we're going to allow him to put it on the karka together with this proviso that he puts it inside the kiss. Aval belayla she'enom zman tefillin, if it's nighttime, so it's now not a pressing issue, you know, that he has to have the tefillin mizumanim lo, so then he should definitely put them into some sort of a kiss, and he should be holding them. He shouldn't be putting them on the ground. So again, this whole pressure here is because he hasn't enough time to put on his tefillin, and he wants them to be mizumonim lo, so therefore he puts it into this kiss, and he basically puts them on the ground, and then he just picks it up from, takes it out of the kiss as soon as he finishes defecating.
And why shouldn't he put a tefillin on in the morning, first thing in the morning? Okay.
I guess he was on the road. That's my impression. I don't know. But you're asking an excellent question. Now, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch here in Sima Mem Gimel, Misha nizkak litzrochav utfilin beroshav, ein shus liachar sheyesayim srochav lanicham kodim shetishkach chama, lo yikodis mahem lebeis hakisi ba'odam biyado, ele benicham bekli, the oches bekli, v'nichnas imo. So just to summarize, the Shulchan Aruch says that if he is wearing his tefillin and it's getting very late, it's almost shkia, he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaKisei with his tefillin on, but what he's allowed to do is he's allowed to put him into a kli, he's allowed to hold on to this kli and go into the bathroom and hold on to the tefillin inside the kli. What you don't find in the Shulchan Aruch is any discussion about karka, you know, what we discussed before, that he needs an oil, a poseach, you know, tefach, in order to separate the tefillin from the karka. Okay. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan, by yom, when he takes off his tefillin by day, in order to enter into the Beis HaKisei, go on Kimin Sefer, he rolls it up like a scroll. Umeinichem biyado, so he's got his ritzuos around the tefillin, and he's holding on to his tefillin. Keneged liba, you know, it should be in a place near his lid, and that's a covered for the tefillin. Ubalila, but if he's taking off his tefillin at night and putting him away for the night until the next morning, Oselen kamin kiss tefach umeinichem, and he puts it into a kiss, into this pocket, this utensil that has an opening, an airspace of a tefach, and that's where he should place his tefillin. Now, what is this din of a kiss tefach? Now, before we said that he was going into the washroom, so he needed to put it on the floor. But here it's Belila. Why is he placing it into this kiss, which has got a tefach?
They slept on the floor and they had the floor next to their bed. It's like in the
could be. They didn't have it. They didn't put it on a table, maybe.
No, they didn't have tables.
So let's just see the next piece of Gemara, which I think will help us shed a little light. Omar Abaye, Lo Shanu, this din that you need a kli which has a halal of a tefach, Elo Bikli Shahu Kilyan, which means it's a kli meyuchad lahem la nicham bo kilyan. It's theirs. Theirs means it's designated singularly for the tefillin. And this kli has a certain kedusha to it because it's what you call tashmishi kedusha for the sake of the tefillin. Aval the kli she'eino kilyan afilu pachos mitefach. So if it's just sort of like a temporary situation, this is not the kli that's designated for the tefillin. Shelo yichdu lekach elei nicham sham al derech hamikra is afilu pachos mitefach, and that's enough to serve the same purpose. So again, if it's a kli miyuchad, then we need the tefach. As we said before, that creates some sort of an oil because of the airspace of the tefach, and that will be a chatzitza to the karka. So he writes here, he has a whole discussion here in the note. I'll just read to you some of it. He says, klishu miyuchad lehem karav hadavar she is batel klapeim v'eino mishamesh kehefseg beinom lakarka ad shebo dovra nikar b'shir tefach b'shvil lachtzos. So just to summarize, this is all based on Rashi. Tiramasa lo shonu. If the kli is miyuchad, that's the kiss that you always put your tefillin in, then it's as if the tefillin are bottled to the kli. And if they're bottled to the kli, then basically by putting the kli on the karka, you're putting the tefillin on the karka. So we need some sort of a heker, which is a sheer tefach, and that sets up the ol, which is now going to be chotzeitz. But that only applies because it's miyuchad. Otherwise, any kli would serve as a chatzitza, even if it doesn't have the tefach, the halal tefach. And he goes on to say, based on the Ra'ah, that Ein din shayach lebeis hakisei lechatzitza el mitzad kvod hatfilin shebo abayi lomar al inyan asiyas kli letfilin sheose kli letfilin yase kli choshu b'shir tefach mishum kvodom aval im eino kli miyuchad lehem אלא מניחם שם כדרך הרוי, אין מקפידה מכך שאינו בשיר תפח. So the Ra'ah has a whole different approach to this Gemara and to the distinction that Abai is making between Kilyon and Eino Kilyon. And he's talking about Kovet Tefillin, that the Kovet Tefillin is to find some sort of a bag, we call it a zekel, a kli, that's miyuchad for the Tefillin. And that kli should be beautified. So if it's got a halal tefach, that's kavarat tefillin. He's not talking about putting it on the ground or chatzitza, none of that. If on the other hand, you just have a temporary basis, so you don't need this shir tefach because now you're just doing it b'derech haroi. But on a regular basis, you should find yourself this kli that's a kavod for the tefillin. Now the Gemara brings a proof for Rabbaye that a kli is chotzeitz, even if it's not halal tefach. Omar Mar Zutra ve'itamer of Ashi teida. I'll prove it to you. Share pachim ketanim matzilin ba'ol ames. So this has to do with Hilchus Olos, with Masechta Olos and Tumas Mes. So what you have here is you have pachim ketanim, the small kalim. And they are closed with what's called a tzamid pasil, you know, some tight lid. And if there is a mess inside the oel, then that which is inside the pachim ketanim remains tahor. It's not contaminated by the mess. And pachim ketanim means that even though there's no halal tefach, nevertheless it's matzil bifnei a mess. So you see that you have something called a chatzitza, even though it doesn't have this feature of halal tefach. Now, if you take this together with the Ra'ah, it could be that what the Gemara is now is backtracking and saying that in a case of a kli that doesn't have an avir tefach, you still have a chatzitza. So why do you need the avir tefach? And that's where the Ra'ah says mishum kavadat tefillin. But that's only if it's a permanent kli. We were on the way with Rav Yochanan, following behind him. We noticed that when Rav Yochanan had to go into the bathroom, if he was holding on to a sefer of Agados, he would give it to us to hold, and he would go into the washroom. Ki havi nakit tefillin, but if on the other hand he was holding on to his tefillin, lo havi yovlon, he would not give it to us. And why? Omar, he declared, hoil ushrunu rabbanon, since the chachamim allowed us to hold on to the tefillin when we go into the Beis HaKiseh, and that's a din of shmiras ha-tefillin, is therefore ninterin. The tefillin should be with me. In other words, I want to avail myself of this heter of the chachamim, and I want to take the tefillin with me into the Beis HaKiseh. And a Beis HaKiseh is a place, Rashi explains, where there are mazikin, and he wants the protection of the tefillin from mazikin. So he doesn't want to part with his tefillin, even though he's only holding his tefillin. Rabbi Yonah has a whole different take here. Rabbi Yonah says that, according to his girsa, lo nitrach has nothing to do with shmirah, but rather not to be matriach the talmidim, that they should have to watch my tefillin. You know, Rabbi Yochanan was very independent and he didn't want to impose himself on the talmidim. So since it was a heter to take his tefillin in and hold them in his hand while he defecates in the washroom, he would take advantage of that heter. Now, in the case of Sifrei Agados, though, that he would give to his Talmidim. And it's interesting that we have a din that Dvarim Shebal Peh, Yatar Shoyim Omer B'Ksavans, we don't write down Torah Shebal Peh. But here he says, and this is based on the Maharal Prague, that Chachomo Yerigivim Lumod Halacha Bal Peh Achagodet Aloi Bekiyin Kol Kach Bal Peh Lekach Hayukosvin Sifrei Agada. So again, I guess they gave a special heter to commit Agada to writing in order that we shouldn't forget the Agada.
Why couldn't he give the tefillin to students?
Yeah, so that's a good question. If we're saying, like the Rabbi Yonah, they didn't want to be matriach, the students, so why did he leave the Sifrei Agada to outside? So maybe the heter was only on tefillin.
And tefillin is much more chashuv than the Sifrei Agada. Like,
well, if you say shmira for mazik, then you're right, it's much more chashuv.
No, I say even for matriach, it's much more the achrayus is much greater on this talmid.
They would require a lot more work and effort to be careful about the tefillin.
Well, because they'd be very careful about tefillin.
Maybe less careful about Sifrei Agada.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the answer to that question is simple. That they never made a heter to take Sifrei Agada into a Beis HaKiseh. Tefillin, because of shmiras tefillin, they didn't want to leave it at that. Amar Rava ki avi azlinon. So now we're on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Ki havi azlinon basreder of Nachman. Another story about Talmidim going, following, escorting their Rebbe. And here it's Rav who's escorting Rav Nachman. Ki havi nokit safra dagarito, when he was holding on to Sifrei Agados, Yoivlon, he would give it to us to watch before he went into the Beis HaKiseh. But ki havi nokit tefillin, but if he was holding tefillin, is lo yoivlon. In other words, he would take the tefillin inside. Omar, and he again, the same thing we saw with Rabbi Yochanan, he would declare, Ho'el Ushrunu Rabbanon, if the Rabbanon permitted me to take the tefillin inside the Beis HaKiseh because of Shmiras HaTefillin Nintaret, then it's going to protect me from Azikin, so I'll take it in with me. Ton Rabbanon, Lo Yochaz Odom Tefillin B'yodo V'lo Sefer Torah B'Ezroo V'Yispalel. Now, as a person, when he's holding on to his tefillin or his sefer Torah, then he's in a state of fear. He's constantly anxious about maybe dropping it during his tefillah, so he won't be able to give full concentration to his tefillah. V'lo yashtin bohen mayim, and he shouldn't urinate. V'lo yisham, and he shouldn't sleep while he's wearing his tefillin. Lo shenas keva, v'lo shenas aroi. So this is a very interesting topic for an Iyun Shia. Rav Soloveitchik has a lot of Torah on this piece of Gemara about Shena and why Shena Saroy is Asur. And he compares it to Sukkah. He has a whole din about Diyun here about Shena. But V'lo Yashtin Lahem means that even if he is holding a Sefer Torah, so he's not wearing a Sefer Torah, but he's holding it, that itself generates an Isur of Lo Lahashtin, Lo Lahatil Mayim, while he's holding on to a Sefer Torah. So that's interesting. So we have a din of Dovah Shebe Kedusha, a Chefetz Kedusha, and when you're holding on to a Chefetz Kedusha, that's a separate cue. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Velo, with regard to Shena, the Isur Shena, is Rashi says, Shema Yafiach, so afraid he'll pass air if he's sleeping. However, the Gaon has a different girsa, as you'll notice that if you have that olive in Rashi, and according to the Gaon's girsa, it says, Shema Yapil, he might drop the tefillin. And the Gaon explains that this is based on a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah has a stira between two brises. One brisa says that he's not allowed to sleep in his tefillin, lo shenas aroi, v'lo shenas keva, and another brisa says that shenas aroi rashoi lishon, that he's allowed to sleep with his tefillin, and only shenas keva is also. So the Gemara explains that the brisa, which we see here, it's talking about a case of Ochez HaTfilin B'yada. And if he's holding the tefillin in his hand, Osu Afilu B'Sheinas Aroi, because Yesh Lakshol Shem Yiplu B'yada. The second verse is talking about a case where he's wearing his tefillin. If he's wearing his tefillin, then we're not afraid that he'll drop his tefillin, but rather we're afraid Shem Yafiach B'Hem. And therefore they distinguish between a Sheinas Keva, which is Osur, because there's a real serious chashash that if he's deep in his sleep, he'll be mafiach. But in the case of Shena Saroi, it's only a short time period, therefore ein choshishin shem yafiach umuta. So that's what we have here from the Gemara in Sukkah. Omar Shmuel, sakin umos ukara v'kikar harei elu kayotzim. And he gives another bunch of examples of things that are dangerous and they might fall, and therefore he shouldn't be holding them while he's davening. It will interfere with his kavana. In the case of a sakin, we understand very well that this could be very dangerous if he drops a knife. But mos, he's afraid that he might lose the mos. And a kara is something that's very fragile, that it might fall and break. So in all these cases, he is distracted from his tefillah, and therefore he's not allowed to hold on to this. There's a whole issue about holding on to a child while you daven. You'll see sometimes people who do that. Amar Rav Am Rav Sheshes, Les Hilchasa Ki Ha Masni. So we don't paskin l'alach like this brisa that says that you're not allowed to be mashtin while you tefillin or in your hand while you're holding your hilin. Why? The Beit Shammai he. Because this brisa reflects the sheet of Beit Shammai that we had earlier, that a person shouldn't go into Beis HaKiseh Kavua while he's holding his tefillin in the yad, but rather he should put it on a hole, on a crevice that's outside in the window, Sobach L'Shusarab. And the principle of Beis Shammai applies even in a Beis HaKisei Aroi Kishemashtin, that again, once again, the halacha is that he shouldn't be mashtin, he should rather put his tefillin in a place, a special place, which is the Chorei Rishus Aravim. The Ike Beis Hillel, if we go according to Beis Hillel, is Hashto Beis HaKisei Kavu Ashari. Beis Hillel says that he's allowed to hold his tefillin when he goes into a permanent Beis HaKisei, that's Beis HaKisei that's designated exclusively as a Beis HaKisei. Is Beis HaKisei Aroi Miboy? Do we have to tell you that he would be matir in the case of a temporary Beis HaKisei? In other words, while he's urinating, the status of that place is a Beis HaKisei Aroi. And therefore, when the Braisa says that he's not allowed to hold his tefillin in his hand while he's urinating, which means that there's an Iser of taking the tefillin into a Beis HaKisei Aroi, that reflects the sheet of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that you're not allowed to take a pair of tefillin into a Beis HaKisei, even if it's a Beis HaKisei Aroi, while you're holding the tefillin, but rather you have to b'meinicham b'chalon ha'samach l'shus ha'ramim. And therefore, if he's going to urinate with his tefillin while he's holding his tefillin, then that becomes a Beis HaKisei, and therefore he's not allowed to be holding on to his tefillin. But Beis Hillel say that in a Beis HaKisei Kavua you're allowed to hold on to your tefillin, because Beis Hillel are so concerned about Shmiras HaTefillin, you know, he doesn't want to put his tefillin anywhere, you know, certainly not put it down in a place where it's exposed to the Rishus HaRabim. So if you're allowed to hold on to your tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, how much more so when he urinates and the status of the place is that of a Beis HaKisei, a Beis HaKisei Aroi. So it goes without saying that Beis Hillel would advocate that you hold your tefillin rather than put them on the side, and therefore you'd be allowed to urinate while you're holding your tefillin. By the way, the implication here is that you're not allowed to urinate while you're wearing your tefillin, and that's not so simple. I mean, the Gemara earlier discusses that you're not allowed to defecate while you're wearing your tefillin. Never said explicitly that you're not allowed to urinate while you're tefillin. But this whole sugya seems to assume that if you're urinating, you can, according to Beis Hillel, you can hold on to your tefillin, but you're not allowed to wear your tefillin. So all this is in the name of Rav Sheshes Meisvei. Now the Gemara brings a kasha from a braisa against Rav Sheshes, and the braisa says the following: Dvarim sheitarti l'cha kan, asarti l'cha kan. Now there's certain things that you're allowed to do in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, but nevertheless, there are also in a Beis HaKisei Aroi. Very paradoxical statement. My, what is the Braisa talking about? So Gemara assumes in the Hava Bina, lav tefillin. Aren't we talking about tefillin in a Beis HaKisei? Oh, so now we're going to work this out according to Beis Hillel. How so? So Bishlam, it works according to Beis Hillel. And what does it mean, Dvarim sheitarti l'cha kan? Which means, in a Beis Knesset, in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, Beis Hillel allowed you to come in with your tefillin and hold the tefillin in your hand. But asarti l'cha kan, in a Beis HaKisei Aroi, in other words, you're not allowed to hold on to your tefillin while you're urinating, which is against everything we said in Rav Sheshes, that according to Beis Hillel, he certainly would be allowed to hold on to his tefillin while he's urinating, because that's only a Beis HaKisei Aroi. So the Gemara is willing to accept this pshat in the Braisa, because there's no other possibility, as we'll soon see, even though this interpretation of the Braisa contradicts Rav Sheshes, and that's the Gemara's kasha. Now, how do we know that this Braisa reflects the Shita Beis Hillel? Eli'i Amrit, if you're going to tell me, Beit Shammai, that this Braisa is going in the Shita Beit Shammai, holo shoruv lo midi. How could it be that it says Dvarim sheitarti l'cha kan, meaning that I was matir something in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, when that's not true? Beis Shammai doesn't allow you to take tefillin into Beis HaKisei Kavua, even though you're not wearing them, you're only holding them, and therefore he requires that you place them in the Chorei HaKosel. So you can't use the phrase Dvarim sheitarti l'cha kan if you're holding like Beis Shammai. So by process of elimination, all we have is the possibility that this brisa reflects Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel holds that also lahashtim in tefillah biyadam, that even though lahashtim is only a Beis HaKiseh Aroi, nevertheless, you're not allowed to hold them in your hands. And this is against Rav Sheshes, who said that the brisa that formulates a prohibition against urinating with his tefillin is Beit Shammai, as if to say that Beis Hillel themselves would certainly be matir because it's only a Beis HaKiseh Aroi. So Gemara answers, Ki sanya hi le'inyin tefach utfachayin. In other words, that which we learned in the brisa, Dvarim Shasarti, this has nothing to do with going into the bathroom with tefillin. But rather, what we're talking about, Dvarim Shasarti, is what's called Gilui Tefach Utfachayim, which means that if a person goes into the Beis HaKiseh, he's not allowed to expose his body completely. He has to only do the barest minimum, that which is absolutely necessary, which is called a Tefach or a Tefachayim. And this is the meat of tznius. So if he needs to defecate, then he can expose his back, but only a small amount, only a tefach. And if he needs to urinate, and then he's exposing his body in front, then he's allowed to be megal at tefachayim, because tefachayim will give him a possibility to urinate at a distance. So this is what the Bryce is telling us. Dvarim sheitatu chakan, meaning that I would allow you to be megalat fachayim milafanov in a Beis HaKiseh Aroi, but asati l'chakan, I'll prohibit that in a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, when he's going in for gedolim, for to defecate. In other words, that if you're talking about a Beis HaKiseh Aroi, which means he's urinating, then we're going to allow him to expose fachayim. But if he's defecating, then that's called the Beis HaKiseh Kavua. And then for Midas HaTznius, we're going to allow him a maximum of a tefach. But this has nothing to do at all with Beis Hillel. And you would not derive the conclusion from this brisa that Beis Hillel would hold that you're not allowed to urinate while you're holding on to your tefillin. And therefore there's no difficulty here in Rav Sheshes. So this is a whole new interpretation of the brisa. The Gemara now brings a proof that this brisa is addressing the issue of tefach tefachayim. The Tani Chad, we have one brisa that says kshu nifne, when he's defecating, megala liachor of tefach, he can only be megala tefach. Ulefanov, when he's urinating tefachayim, two tefachs. V'sanya idiv, we have a different brisa that says that when he's defecating, he exposes lachor of tefach. Ulefanov v'lo klum. So how do we understand this? This is against the first price. We said lefanav tefachayim. Here we're saying lefanav v'lo klum. My, what is the price of meaning? So the Gemara says lav. Shouldn't we assume that idi v'idi be'ish? Both prices are talking about a male v'lo kasha. And there's no stira. Why? Kan, the price that says that he could be megala meachor of tefach, and lefun of lo klum, the second price, so that's talking about someone ligdolim. And if he's defecating, therefore the only heter is to expose his back, but not in front. The kan, but here the price that says that lefun of tefachayim, that's talking about liktan, which means that he is urinating, he's not defecating, and therefore he has no choice but to be megala tefachayim milfanov, and gilui tefachayim milfanov is allowed when he's urinating. And this is what we call a Beis HaKiseh Aroi. Beis HaKiseh Aroi means that he's urinating. But tefachayim is also in the case of asiyas tzrach of gedolim, which is called in the language of the brisa Beis HaKiseh Kavua. And this would reflect on the brisa that we learned before about Dvarim Shehitarti L'chokan. In other words, like there's certain things that are mutter, dafka, because it's a Beis HaKiseh, Aroi, because he's urinating. So Gemara is not happy with this. V'tizbara, Can you really interpret it thusly? By the way, I just want to correct myself. I said the word ish, it means a male. Ish means a person. V'tizvara. Ibiktanim lachorav tefach lomali. If the Braisa is talking about a case of urination, and it says lefanav tfachayim, so that's ktanim, so then what does it mean when it says megala lachorav tefach? Why does he need to be megala lachorav? Now I don't know exactly how they would orchestrate this, that you could be megala lefanav without being megala. Maybe that zippers like we have, I don't know. But there's no need in the case of ketanim to be megala achorov. So based on this kasha, the Gemara changes its reading of the price of tefach tvachayim. Ela idi v'idi, both prices are begedolim. The low kasha, ha, that price that says me'achorov is megala tefach, but milfonov tvachayim is be'ish. Oh, now the word ish means what I thought it meant before.
Right.
The ish meaning he's a male. So even though l'gdolim, he's allowed to be megala l'fun of tfachayim, because what happens is that when he's pushing to defecate, he has to urinate as well. So therefore, we allow the Braisa mentions that he's allowed to expose himself l'fun of tfachayim. But the Braisa that only mentions me'achorav tefach, but milufanav ena megala klum, that's an isha. So she doesn't need to be megala lufanav, because if she urinates, it comes me'achorav. So therefore, we can interpret the Braisa of dvarm she'itarti l'chokan asati l'chokan, means what I was matir for an ish, which means lufanav tefachayim asati l'cho be'isha she'ena megala milufanav v'lo klum. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, we'll see if we, I don't know if we can finish this up here, but we might have to stop midway because I see we're running out of time. But Ihachi, if the Braisa of Dvar Shitarti Lcha is referring to the din of Tefach Tvachayim of an Ish and an Isha, so that's called Me'achorav, that's Tefach Tvachayim, is Hadik Tani Allah. We have a sefer in the Braisa of Izo Kalvachomish Enalov Tshuva. My. Okay, so this is going to take us a long time. So let's stop here.
Okay.
And Emirat Hashem, we'll pick this up next week.